Let's just spend a few minutes thinking about those words we've just heard and the Christmas story. A baby being born is all about life. I wonder if you saw the news this week as baby Melinda, the world's third smallest baby, well, at least since we've been keeping records, was finally allowed to go home from hospital. Now, this is a historic picture. She was born premature last August at 24 weeks old. And she is, well, as every little one is, clearly very precious and very special to her family and indeed to the doctors and the nurses who have fought so hard to help her. So a birth is about life, and a birthday is about ongoing life, isn't it? And this year, in just a week's time, we're going to celebrate again Jesus' birthday. But do you ever stop and ask yourself why? Do you ever ask yourself that question in the midst of all that's going on at Christmas time? We have been asking the why question of Christmas over the last 2 or 3 weeks in our evening services. Why did Jesus come as a baby? Why? And in the first letter of John, where the reading that Susie just read to us comes from, we find some of the answers. And over the last couple of weeks, we have seen that Jesus came that we might have joy. He came that we might join a family. And in this, the final one in the series and the final reference in John's first letter, we read that he came that we might have life. Now, I know that for many, Christmas has become just an excuse for a party, and probably a party of serious excess. I've been hearing about works bashes and other things in the last week or so. But that's not what God intended. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to be a killjoy. I certainly don't want to be as miserable as Adam Smallbone at BBC Two's Rev, who, according to this article, which is taken from the Telegraph today, nearly loses it over Christmas. You may not be able to see there, but endless carols, inebriated worshippers, I'm certain you're not tonight, health and safety nightmares for the vicars who inspired TV's Rev. The season of goodwill only goes so far. I don't want to be a killjoy either. We really should be celebrating at this time of year. But how do we celebrate? I think that will come from why we celebrate, won't it? We should be celebrating because, of course, at Christmas, we remember the greatest gift ever given. But how do we celebrate? Why do we celebrate? They're the questions I'd like us to briefly think about this evening. And here in the ninth verse of the fourth chapter of the first letter of John that Susie has just read to us, we find some of the answers. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So every birth is about life. That's what we've started with, isn't it? So then, can I really single out one birth as being special and unique? Because that's what I'm about to do. I'm about to say Jesus' birth was different and special. Am I allowed to do that? Well, I'm sure that every birth is special. Every birth is unique. I know a few proud fathers who can still tell the blow-by-blow account of how their firstborn came into the world. Can't you? I can. We don't tend to forget. But in the case of Jesus Christ, we notice from the records of his birth that he is unique. He is special. His birth is marked out as being different. The Christmas account is full of unique things that don't happen. I'm certain sure that these things didn't happen when I was born, and probably not when you were born. We've read about them. We've sung about them. Did angels announce your arrival? They didn't announce mine. Was there a census taken, arranged by the politicians of the day, which caused your parents to go to another town so that you would be born where the prophecy had been given all those years before? It may have happened to you, but it didn't happen to me. Did angels speak to shepherds in the field and then tell the shepherds to come to the hospital where you were born? and then having seen the miraculous occurrence, go home and tell everybody about it on the way. You're getting used to it, me saying they didn't happen for me. I don't know whether it happened for you. The star, the wise men, the escape from Herod, the return to Nazareth, all of that prophecy fulfilled. Jesus' birth is very different. It is unique. It is special. But why all these special things? Why? That's the heart of the matter. Did God arrange miracle upon miracle for this little baby just so as he could live like you and me? Of course not. There is something more. There has to be more than just that. And there is. And this is where John's letter comes in. Three brief things this evening. First, notice with me, the birth of Jesus is intended to be a public affair. That's how God designed it to be. This is how God showed his love amongst us. Baby Jesus was born. And indeed, he was born to be on the news. He was born to be the talk of the town, to be seen and to be heard by everyone. That is why he came. You know, there's a tendency these days to film the birth of a baby. Personally, I think it's a step too far. And I'm certain Tracy wouldn't have been impressed if I'd suggested it. However, in Jesus' case, a film would be appropriate, if they had such things at that time, to gather up the evidence and to write it so that you and I can hear it and know it is exactly what God intended. And thank the Lord, it's what Luke did. And it's what Matthew did. And it's what Mark did. Indeed, it's what John did in a slightly different way. We have this account of his birth because God set about to show us his love. And thankfully, the Bible spares us from the details we don't need to know and tells us the ones that we do, which can change our lives. Well, if that's the first thing, it was meant to be public. God had set his heart to show us his love. Here is the second. The birth of Jesus is not just special, it's unique. The birth of Jesus is unique. Jesus is God's one and only Son. One and only. The carol says begotten. It's just the old word for one and only. They mean the same thing. Begotten is the old word. One and only is the new. And they both tell us Jesus has always existed from before time. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit existed in wonderful harmony before time. The emphasis here is not on where Jesus came from, but on the fact that as he comes into the world, he is unique. There is only one who will ever come like this. There is only one who comes for this purpose. There is no other like him. No one can do what he has done. No one can be like him. Jesus is the one and only in the sense that he is unique. He is the Son of God. Listen to one of the verses from John's gospel. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So at Christmas time, we see again that Jesus is sent to us by God, and we're meant to see him. We see that he is unique. There is no other. But one more thing tonight. He came that we might live through him. That's why he came. But what does it mean to live through him? It's not the most obvious of phrases, is it? But way back in John's Gospel, John records an encounter between the grown-up Jesus and a Pharisee called Nicodemus. Listen just to a little of that, because it reveals to us what it means that we might live through him. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is of everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus came at Christmas in all that wonder, in that unique way, so that you and I can be born of the Spirit. We can have a spiritual life. We can be joyful and a part of God's family. Do you have this spiritual life this Christmas? You know, there are lots of things out there that pretend to be spiritual life, but they're not. Some people look for it in spirits, either the liquid form or the form that claim to be there in spiritualist meetings. But the Bible says very clearly we must be born of the Spirit. And in our reading tonight, we see that God lives in us. The Spirit of God, we read, the Holy Spirit, who is God. This is why Jesus came, that we may have this life in the Spirit that is God himself who dwells in us. Do you know the Spirit of God living in you tonight? It sounds a bit weird, I suppose, but it is a wonderful thing. It results in us loving one another, our text tells us. Indeed, I want to say to you tonight that the best way to celebrate Christmas is to let God the Holy Spirit live in your heart. If that's the way you're celebrating Christmas this year, then that is wonderful. And I hope and I pray that you do have a truly blessed Christmas. But if it isn't, if you've never thought about that, would you please talk to me after the service? Is tonight the time to try a new way of celebrating Christmas? Perhaps a Christian friend has brought you. You could ask them. Over on the side there are leaflets that will encourage you and help you to understand how to live a spiritual life, to celebrate Christmas the way God intended, with him dwelling in you, teaching you to love as he first loved us. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word is truth. We thank you that John was caused by the Holy Spirit to write down this wonderful truth, that Christ came that we might have life. Father, we thank you that you sent your one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And we ask our Father this evening that God, the Holy Spirit, would come upon each and every one of us and enable us to celebrate Christmas the way you intended, celebrating the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, come to give me spiritual life. Father, we pray that may be true for each and every one here this evening. Amen.